Edelmetallmesse in München freue ich mich jetzt als Gesprächspartner David Morgan begrüßen zu dürfen. David, it's a pleasure to have you.
Thank you very much.
A lot of people coming here to Munich to buy physical gold and silver, and as you are one of the silver experts representing here, what is your opinion on silver price development in the upcoming future?
Well, right now, as you know, from the peak we had in 2011, it's dropped considerably. And we hit a low last year at the end of 2015. Since that time, we've come up, you know, substantially in percentage basis. We're now roughly at 18 US basis. And that's still pretty undervalued relative to what it costs for all-in sustaining costs when oil's at, say, $100 a barrel. So right now, with the low energy costs, some of the better producers can produce silver somewhere in the $14, $15, $16 range. So it's slightly above that, but that doesn't put most primary silver miners in a big enough margin to really be, you know, happy with what they're doing. I think that not only is it undervalued on a basis of silver itself, but it's undervalued relative to gold as well, because the ratio is around 70 right now. So, you know, from any way you want to look at silver as an investment vehicle, it's undervalued.
So with regard to investing, would you rather prefer physical silver, physical gold, or looking at the mines themselves? There was a recent spike in share price development, even of the major silver miners. Fresnillo more than tripled, I think, in maximum. So they came back quite a little bit. So what do you prefer, the mines with the leverage on the silver price or physical silver itself?
Well, I'll be consistent here. It's always both. I've stressed from the very beginning that you need to start a metals portfolio with metal. So you need to have physical metal that you have bought, paid for, and can touch. And after that's achieved, then would you rather buy a golden egg or buy the goose that lays the golden egg? Well, I prefer to have both. And so I look for top-tier cash-rich unhedged mining companies in the top tier of the Morgan Report. Then we look for producers that have a lot of ability to expand either through exploration or increasing their flow rate, the production rate. And then we do, of course, like everybody, junior mining companies that have high risk, high reward profiles. And we've been quite successful, but we've certainly made an error here and there like everyone else. But that's what we do, is stress how to make the most money on a risk value basis. And because of that, we've done better than a lot of the industry, because big money goes into big companies. For example, one of our top tiers was recommended at 19. That's a $66 stock even today. So a lot of our top tiers are up 300% from the time we got them on the Morgan Report. A good one would be First Majestic as an example. I don't think it was ever on the spec list, but it's certainly a mid-tier at one time. Of course, now it's moved up. It's AG, the atomic symbol for silver, on the New York Stock Exchange, and it's been that way for quite some time. Very volatile. It's very leveraged to silver. It's been up quite a bit this year and down. I want to continue on just to add a bit more. We saw the overvaluation of the mining companies, and we're not afraid to tell it like it is. And we were telling members of the Morgan Report on a premium service where I actually do it. I get the chart out, I talk it, and said, look, I'm getting concerned here. The equities are showing a silver price of $25 to $26, and the silver price is 20. Look it up. That's what it is. You know, I'm trying to be funny here. And therefore, we have two choices, that silver is going to rapidly come up to the price of the shares, or the shares are overvalued. I think they're overvalued. I think you should hedge or lock in partial profits. And many of my people did, and some they'll blow back, oh, David, you're wrong, or whatever, and that's fine. You can have your opinion. Turned out to be right. And when did we do it? We did it when you should have done it, which means at the top, when it was strong, and there are a lot of people that were buying the top. So I got a lot of compliments on the backside saying, wow, I didn't realize, you know, it was smart for me, because these mining stocks go up and down quite dramatically, and they do. So, you know, do I get it right every time? No, but more than probably most. And so that was a little bit of a help, because it's nice to have that psychology of taking some money off of the table, right? And I do both, trade and invest. And I have people that follow the Morgan Report that are just pure investors, buy and hold. And that's oriented toward the top tier. And then I have people that do, you know, a fair amount of trading, such as myself. And I do both, but I mean, I do trade. So.
So with regard to investing in companies, which countries do you prefer to invest in? Is it more like the African mines, maybe, with the higher reward, higher risk scenarios, or Southern America, Australia, maybe, with the higher gold price there due to currency effects?
Yeah, well, we have to factor that all in, and of course, we write it in the report on what our thoughts are. I mean, the Fraser Institute, we agree generally with what they put out as far as the risk of the country. Done very little in Africa this time. I mean, I'm old enough with the gray hair that you know or may not know. I was there for the first bull market, and everything that you could touch was in South Africa that really, really flew. I mean, ASA, which is like a mutual fund, did extremely well. Many of the South Africans. We really have only touched on a couple of South Africans for trades only, not for long-term holds. And, you know, we've got one now that's a speculation that's in a rather risky country, but it's such a rich mine at 40 ounces a ton that we can't resist. But as long as you balance the portfolio, you can go almost anywhere. The problem is that if you don't diversify even in this sector and pick the wrong country or the wrong company, you could pay a pretty heavy price. So the idea is just to mitigate risk. And I hate long lists. You know, I think like 6 or 7 stocks is probably enough for most people. You don't need 70. Like some of my friends in the very beginning, they had just, you know, a huge list of these penny stocks. I mean, how can you track that many? You can't.
Okay, so what do you think will happen at the rest of the conference here? Some of the companies get very good interest from investors. Do you think there will be some deals being done here as well, although Germany is not known as the resource country?
Absolutely. I mean, the sector is bottomed. I'm just convinced of that. We're wallowing now for a little while, maybe till the end of the year. I don't know yet. But there is interest. Capital flows are better, meaning you can borrow money. You know, the purses are open, as a metaphor. And we will see deals done, and we will see a strengthening of the sector. And we're seeing more of a broader base. I mean, the rare earths thing, you know, became very popular a few years back, and it got kind of overdone, and now it's come back. But with the Tesla emphasis, you've seen a lot of lithium in the news, of course. And there's a lot that will continue to happen throughout the sector. And I think we've gotten through what's necessary in any market. The misallocation of companies that really didn't have much merit have gone to the buy and buy. I wrote a humorous article, The Miners Have Gone to Pot. And it's true, a lot of the more junior companies moved into the marijuana sector, as an example. But no, the market right now is pretty serious. Most things that are out there are of value. There's still a lot of value in this sector, especially at the lower end, if you know what to look for and how to, you know, analyze it properly. And it's kind of up and away, but it's not going to be 2017's a rocket ship. I think we're going to continue to build the base and see good prices throughout 2017. And I'm looking for 2018 to 2020, where the public comes back in the market at large. Of course, I always have to give the caveat, you know, the black swan factor with what's going on with the rather interesting elections in the United States and the geopolitical climate that's so difficult these days. There could be an event or events that would cause a lot of run to gold, you know, literally overnight.
Okay, thank you very much for this insight.